The Glass Lady Project with your host, Becky Mitchell. This program features artists and individuals from our community who have stories and history to share.
This is Becky Mitchell with the Glass Lady Project, and today joining me I have Vincent Lindstrom. Welcome, Vince.
Hi, glad to be here.
Now, you are a Lake Park native, yep. And you have a homestead that kind of dates back to many generations out in the Lake Park area. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, it is interesting. I grew up in Lake Park, graduated from high school there in 1960, so I've been around an awful long time, but my great-grandparents came over from Sweden. They had a daughter about 16, I suppose, when they came, which is an interesting story in itself because they came through New York, obviously, and then they got out to Wisconsin and literally bought an oxen and a team of horses and walked and drove from there to Lake Park because there was land available through the railroad.
We recently did an exhibit at the museum kind of talking about that journey from Norway, but similar. And boy, talk about perseverance.
It's unbelievable. And they arrived in October, and I can't remember the year, but in the 1800s. It was just amazing. They sought out a cave. I don't know how they survived that. You know, when you think about no heat, no lights, no nothing, and here they are, you know. When they came over, they had a hired man with them, a young fellow, Magnus Lindstrom, also from Eplevo, Sweden. All the Swedes in Lake Park, or a lot of them, especially the Eksjö Church group, goes back to their ancestry in a little village way up north in Dalarna, Sweden. The fun thing about Dalarna, it's also the area that has the fiddle playing. I mean, when you think of Sweden, the dancing around the maypole and the fiddles, yeah. And all that, Eplevo is really kind of the heartland for that. So that's where they came from. And they came over on that long trip, and I don't know how they ever got from Wisconsin to Lake Park, but they made it, and they made it by October, and then they made it through that first winter, and lo and behold, the hired man, or my great-grandfather and my great-grandmother now, they had a little one on the way by spring. I suppose you had to stay warm somehow.
That's right.
And then they homesteaded on what we call the Lindstrom Homestead, which is about 2 miles from Highway 10. If you know where Eksjö Church is, you just go off Highway 10 for about 2 miles back, and that's where the homestead is. And probably the most amazing thing to me is they were married on July 4th, 1876.
Okay.
On the 100th birthday of the United States. And wow. They were so proud to come to America and be Americans at that time. And they went on to have 13 children. 12 of them survived. One of them being my grandparent and my grandfather. So I've got a long history at the Lindstrom Homestead in Lake Park.
So is there somebody still currently living on the homestead today?
Not right now. My uncle Victor, who was a bachelor, lived there 90 years of his life. A couple of years ago, just wasn't really safe in the wintertime. He stayed in the summer, but now he's in Sunnyside in Lake Park. We use it in the summertime a lot. We have family reunions up there, and my kids love to come up and play on the farm, so to speak. We still use the farm in the summer, but it's no one's living there on a permanent basis right now.
Sure. Is the homestead something that you went through the different generations? Were there multiple families on it, or primarily did it kind of go from one person to the next person?
Well, it's interesting because when you have 12 kids, as they grew up, the kids really helped. I mean, they were the hired hands. And in those days, you got 200 acres to begin with, and then probably they expanded, so they had some beyond that. But in the early days, they had cows. When I was a kid, I suppose we had, for the whole time, you had 20 milking cows, 2 teams of horses. You had 4 horses in the barn. They had pigs and chickens and, you know, the whole thing. We never got into sheep, but we probably had everything else.
We're kind of into goats at our house right now.
Yeah. Never had goats, but my grandkids love goats today, so I'm sure someday there may be goats on the place. Just
well, they're quite naughty, I will tell you that.
But they can mow the yard, so probably keep the yard greased down. So that's kind of the story that it goes back. And so then the kids started working. My grandfather actually went up and worked as a fireman on one of the trains up in the range for a couple of years. And then 13 kids, 12 of which survived, and they still celebrated their 50th wedding anniversary.
Wow.
So that really was an amazing story. And when they kind of retired, went down south of Lake Park to live with one of their younger sons, Albert, and his family. My grandfather came back then from working up on the range, and he became the principal farmer. And then my dad and the bachelor uncle that's there, they farm you know, with their dad. So it's been my family, basically, the Victor Lindstrom family that's been on the homestead.
I come from similar circumstance, but moreover in the Monaga area, my great-grandparents had lots of kids and it was passed down. And I know sometimes holding on to those homesteads is so important, but oftentimes becomes a struggle.
It is a big struggle to this. I've always said that as long as my Uncle Victor is alive, it'll be in the family. We live in the Twin Cities. My kids live in the Twin Cities. One of my daughters is all over the world. She teaches at the American Embassy in India right now, and they're heading for Kenya for a 3-year stick. So chances of my kids ever going into farming. There were 8 nieces and nephews to my bachelor uncle.
Sure.
The 8 of us have an 1/8 of the piece, and we have it in a kind of a trust so that we can figure out what we're going to do. But for the most part, it's only the homestead, about 10 acres of the homestead, that's still active in the family. If we can keep it, it's always been my dream, and I think everybody in the family says, well, as long as Vincent's alive, we got to keep it, and then they'll have to decide what to do.
Absolutely. As far as buildings that are on the homes, I'm sure they've changed over time, but are there any of the original buildings still there?
It's really quite amazing. One of the barns went down in 1933. Big tornado hit Lake Park in 1933. And they lost the barn, and then the barn that stands there now was built in 33. It's a classic. It's an absolutely one of the most beautiful big barns, big hayloft in the whole works. The hog house and the chicken coop have been moved slightly, and they've been there since the very beginning. They've been fixed up, but it's now a machine shed, and the granary is still there from the very beginning. There were 2 side buildings, kind of attachments so that you could put the tractors in. And they finally gave up the ghost a couple of years ago. But for the most part, the house has been remodeled and things updated.
Of course, yeah.
Over the years. But it's the structure is the same house that my great-grandparents lived in, my grandparents lived in, that I lived in. And I can remember when an old downstairs bedroom became a bathroom. And I suppose it would have been the maybe about 1950, I think, is when we finally got some kind of indoor plumbing. But when I was a kid growing up, I mean, we had an outdoor toilet and, you know, the outdoor house. It's really hard to believe. I still, in fact, I find it impossible to believe how they could raise on that farmstead and survive. Because it was 40 below zero and they didn't have electricity. I mean, it's just amazing.
It really is amazing. And it's amazing also when you stop to think about our world and the technology in our world, how we are just, you know, a generation or two back, we were still having outhouses as opposed to indoor toilets and all that. And I think, again, going back to my own relation of having this great-grandmother with this house as a child, I remember this great big house, but then you would walk in, and because she was elderly, lived primarily in 2 rooms. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until after she passed when we kind of were taking things out of the house and of course I was older, it was like, this is really a pretty big house. Because, yeah, the reality was they'd raised 13 kids, but all the girls were in one room, all the boys were in another room. It's pretty amazing how quickly our world has changed.
I don't think of myself as being that old. I mean, I'm now in my 70s, but I can remember when we had that big phone hanging on a wall with a cranker on the side, and I think there were probably 10 neighbors on, so our telephone number was a long ring and 2 short, ring, ring. So a long and 2 short was our telephone number. And if people would hear the ring to somebody's house, and they'd all be what we call rubbernecking, you know, I mean, they had to listen in. And if it really got too many on the line, you'd have to say, could some of you hang up so I can hear?
I can hear the person I'm trying to talk to.
So that went through, and I remember when we got our first television set. I think we had one of the earlier ones, because a lot of the neighbors would come over on Sunday night and watch Ed Sullivan. There were certain shows that everybody, you'd come in there and it was like sitting in a theater. Everybody would sit in a big room and it was dark and you'd watch this little television, I suppose probably a 15-inch or something.
Yeah. You know? Tiny little thing.
So anyway, that's it.
Well, I know in addition, like many settlers in the early years, those first families also became quite instrumental in a church, you know, finding a place to gather. And I know your family was quite instrumental in Exo that you mentioned earlier. Tell us a little bit about that.
There were about 10 families, I guess, that all came from Sweden. And of course, Swedish was my great-grandparents. I'm not sure they ever really learned English. My grandparents could speak both English and Swedish, and my parents could speak English, basically, but I mean, they understood and could still speak Swedish. I, as they say, lite grann, a little bit. The church was really the centerpiece of their world. They got a hold of some land. One of my great uncles, I guess, gave some land so that they could build a church, actually a church there. And they worked on it. And in about 1900, the church was built. And these families just kept it going. And they've gone through, I suppose, 10 preachers. But in the early days, most of the preachers, it was all in Swedish. An interesting sidelight, a Swedish Lutheran church, the most important service of the year was Christmas morning, and they call it Yulet. So they would go at 6 o'clock in the morning, usually in horse and sleigh, and I even did this, to go to church on Christmas morning. That was so important, and somehow they would get their hands on some apples, and everybody, the kids especially, would get apples and a little of the Christmas hard candy, and that was the big gift. But yes, there were about, I would say, 10 families, most of which now are disappearing because the kids my age have now moved away. Sure. Now, all their parents are buried, however, at Eksjö. You walk through the Eksjö cemetery, and as I say, my great-great-grandparents are there. And for me to say that, you know, I've got great-great-grandparents, great-grandparents, grandparents' parents that are all buried out there, and I suppose I'll be there myself. Between the homestead and Eksjö Church, it's remarkable. In fact, I think in 2011, we had a family reunion there, and a representative of all 12 families were there.
Very neat.
We had 100 and some people that showed up. It was really quite amazing.
And Eksjö, I myself am a member there. I'm blessed to be a member there. Grew up in the Fargo-Moorhead area, spent my whole life driving past that church on Highway 10, thinking, wow, that's a cool building. And then finally moving as an adult, you know, we ended up going there. But they've really maintained a lot of that original character, you know, from the, yep, the beginning there.
Well, it is wonderful because my great-grandmother, the one that came over, Niels Nilsson, the original immigrant, as they say, that really brought it all over, had about 5 kids.
Yeah.
And 3 of the boys, one of them was John Nelson, who had the Nelson drugstore in Lake Park.
Okay.
And 2 of his other boys became doctors. So they really had education became important. They've been very generous to make sure that come to Eksjö sometime. Just to see the stained glass windows are almost worth it. They've all been redone, and they are just a one of a kind. The church itself has been kept up just amazingly. Part of it is because they've had people that have literally left trust money to maintain that church.
Yeah. And it is one of the oldest. I can't off the top of my head remember, but it is one of the oldest still in practice in Becker County. So from that regard too, it's really quite...
It's been listed in terms of especially Swedish Lutheran churches, the 10 most beautiful Swedish Lutheran churches in the United States. Obviously, there's a couple of places in Lindsberg, Kansas that smiles and says, well, but ours is better. But
right,
it really has a powerful tradition. And anybody that's driven by Highway 10.
Some families that aren't as in touch with their heritage and their background.
Well, I think it's really important, especially for children. Unfortunately, we got so many kids that barely know their parents, but I was going to say their grandparents. They're fortunate. So for me to be able to say my children, my grandchildren, can go back 7 generations in one church is really quite remarkable. But
you actually have 7 generations that have been baptized there.
My 2 granddaughters are 7th generation Lindstroms baptized in Eksjö Church.
Well, Vince, thanks so much for joining me today and talking a little bit about your deep roots in Lake Park and, of course, through Eksjö Church and just learning a little bit more about that portion of our county.
Yep, I urge everyone to come see it, and even more important, to find your own past. It's one of the best things you can do.
Thank you so much.
Funding for this program has been made possible through a grant from the Legacy Art Culture Heritage Fund of Minnesota. To hear more, feel free to visit www.nijiradio.org. That's www.nijiradio.org.